Okay, so we've just played Layer Assault, forged it on Titan for the first time. So I ran a table, and you ran a table, so introduce yourself for us.
My name is Craig. It's my first time running Layer Assault, so I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, okay, so why don't you start? Tell me a little bit about how the adventure went at your table.
Well, you know, it started out pretty good. They were using perception to try and find out what the watery substance was and the fish and that type of thing. But it wasn't until once the enemy started attacking, they just dropped all that and it was just straight into the fight. At first, they started losing the HP like mad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, this is going to go so quick. But because we had a couple paladins, we had a lot of healing in our party.
What was it? What, do you remember what the party build was?
We had two paladins. We had a cleric, I think. Because we had a cleric, two paladins.
A rogue, maybe?
A rogue, and what did Barry choose?
He had a paladin.
Yeah, okay, so he was the other paladin. Liam was a warlord, so...
Okay.
Yeah, so we had a lot of...
So two leaders and two defenders, and your two defenders were basically pseudo leaders.
Yeah, we're
so.
Kind of like off... Yeah. Off.
So that must have really hurt their output, though, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. They, for like I ran the adventure from the setup in the back, so yeah. I had the fire elemental in the first room. They were having a tough time hitting that thing.
Yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, that thing only does, the only attack ongoing it really 10. Has is, yeah, just the ongoing 10, right? So it makes the attack, and then really, it's like, what else can it do at this point?
Yeah.
But, and it started at the Warlord automatically used a teleportation spell, and it was just, oh man, it was great.
Nice. But were they still in the first room when the round four ended? And they?
No, one of them actually went into the cracked floor room.
Okay.
He was well into it too, so he took a lot of damage in that. But they kept healing, like they kept getting really low, but then they would have so much healing amongst the group that they would just fill up and then just keep taking punishment. And they were doing okay though at first because they were working in a group in the first couple of rooms. But once Liam had said, you know, let's just take care of this, don't worry about this fire guy, let's just, you know, press on through here and worry about him later.
Yeah.
They were all focused on that, except once the round four of the fire blast happened, that kind of screwed them up all a little bit. So the group had split up, so a couple of them decided to go into the room with the runes. The other two
before or after round four?
This was after round four. Okay. So they were taking the ongoing, ten vulnerable, right?
Okay.
But they didn't have any items to
counteract that.
Yeah, counteract that at all. So a couple of them were just so keen on taking down that fire elemental. The other ones were running through the runes, and they just said, you know, let's just swing the doors open to the next room.
And of course, there were monsters in there.
Yeah, there's a fire hound and a bat, which the bat has a wicked, I love the power, where you can fly, where shift four into your spaces, making a fiery touch attack on each of those guys. So that's really what obliterated them, that freaking attack.
Did they even make it to the forge?
No.
No.
No, they didn't. Because what happened was now that you had the lava pools behind those and then the hall that leads to the forge, they all eventually got into the rune room.
Okay.
So now they're all taking an extra 10 fire damage, right?
Geez.
And now the elemental, which they left alone, has cornered them from behind. And they have the bat and the hound on the front.
Oh,
the hound kept recharging his blast breath.
Oh, geez.
So he just kept obliterating them.
Wow.
So that's really what did it. And at one point we had our, the rogue was unconscious on the ground. And one of the paladins was standing over her prone body, attacking. So, of course, you know, the blast is like 2-for-1 square right there, right?
Jeez.
So, anyway, that's when it started falling apart, is when they just kind of got cornered in that spot. And our warlord decided he was going to try and run through. He asked me, is it okay if I dive through the square with a bat? And technically, you're not supposed to, right? But he's like, can I dive through the square with a bat and try and clear that lava pool? I was like, you know what? I'm going to allow it. It's
say,
a bat.
Say
it's
yes,
bat.
Why
sure,
not?
Yeah,
plus,
exactly.
It's a flying creature. Sure,
yeah,
why not?
Yeah, sure, exactly, right? And I mean, they're in such dire straits anyway, so I'm like, sure, it sounds like fun. He's like, I have a -2 to athletics, though, so.
Oh, jeez.
He ended up with a rolling 11. He landed, like, face first in the lava. He's, of course, so that's 20 lava or fire damage. Plus, he's also taking the 10 extra from the
vulnerable.
For the runes. And both of the creatures that he went through both got opportunity attacks, and one of them crit.
Oh,
so
man.
That he had enough healing that before he'd made that move, he had healed to full. But
he
in that
died.
One hit, toasted him.
Nice.
He was completely obliterated from that.
So what I did was, so I actually had a chance to play this before as a player.
Yeah.
Now, I've had a copy of the adventure, so I was trying to not influence the party's decisions very much, but we had a couple of brand new players, and believe me, this is not the adventure you play with brand new players.
Yes.
And, I mean, you want to give everyone a shot, but I would not recommend brand new players try this. So, we played the adventure with the monsters as they were set in the back. And much like you said, the fire elemental was tough to hit, but he only did the ongoing damage. So once you had that ongoing damage, why not draw an opportunity attack from him? So what if he hits you? So what if he crits you?
Yeah.
He's not going to do anything more than what you've already got.
Yeah.
And once we realized that, when we played it, we learned that, you know, just pressing forward and continuing to move in one direction was the key to success.
Yeah.
So when I was running it today as the DM, I tried to learn from well, not the mistakes, but I wanted to further optimize the monsters. So what I did was I changed up the monsters. I used the four minions in the first room that count as a single monster.
Right.
I used the half-elven fanatic, I don't remember exactly what it was called, Lord of Fire, something or other, and I put a fire bat in there. She put up the three monsters.
Nice.
So and there was a statue firing that fired. So really, they had, you know, they had the four minions, the two monsters, and the statue. So there was a lot of stuff in that first room. And the tactic that I employed was the half elf used his power, which is burst five. All allies within the burst gain five additional fire damage. Well, the minions do seven damage. Now they're doing 12 damage. So I had the minions rush the party. Most of them hit 12 damage apiece. Then I had the fire bat intentionally attack the minions, which, because they died from fire damage, caused them to explode. Well, they still had the five bonus damage, so it was doing 10 apiece. So potentially a minion did 12 damage on his attack and then 10 when he blew up. So each minion was inflicting 22 points, and the blow up was a burst one, and they were all next to each other. So I had two guys almost dead in the first round.
Nice.
I think had I moved the minions a little more strategically and actually had all four blow up, it would have been done. But I didn't. Two of them got killed before they could blow up. And then they were just into the room where the floor collapses at the fourth round.
Yeah.
So two of the guys fell in the lava.
Nice.
One of the guys was past the lava. One of the guys, who was an Eladrin, was still in the main room, and he was in the oil, so he took the fire. And then that guy who was left behind was an Eladrin, so he teleported. And unfortunately, that did damage to a couple of the other guys.
Yes.
And the monster, although the setup in the back of the adventure has no monsters in that falling floor room,
yeah,
I put the warlock artillery, who has the push power.
Nice.
So they all managed to climb out of the lava, and then of course he tried to just push them all back in. Now, unfortunately, he wasn't successful, but, you know, that's certainly, in my mind, that was a strong tactic, because, I mean, the 20 fire falling in and 20 in your turn, like, that's potentially 40 fire damage. That's going to kill everyone. The guys did eventually make it in the forge, but by then they were really wounded, and a couple of them were bouncing between unconsciousness and consciousness. And once the tiefling came in, like, he was able to get multiple guys in the same round, because he had a lot of blast and burst. He kept trying to push them into the lava, and they kept making the saves, and then finally, like, in one round they all failed the saves at the same time. He put them in the lava and then immobilized them, and they all fell unconscious, and even if they'd woken up, they couldn't free themselves out of the lava. So it was, they lasted 14 rounds, though.
That's
which
pretty
I was
impressive, though.
Impressive. But four of those rounds were just trying to open the door. They needed a 26 strength check. They were rolling on, I think, an 11 most times with the assists.
Yeah.
So the guy rolling, they on their fourth and final time, they're like, this is it. If we don't make it, we're turning back. And he rolled a 20.
Nice.
So got the door open. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, they had, I'm trying to think, they had a Bladesinger, a Rune Priest, a Warlord, a Warden, and a Wizard. No, a Monk, sorry, not a Wizard.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, again, their Striker was good, but maybe not as great as, say, a Ranger or a Rogue. But when you build a party as a group, you can play off each other.
Yeah,
when you
sure.
sort of just show up with a level 5 character, certain things may or may not work that well together.
Absolutely.
So,
well, a couple things you mentioned to me before we ran this was that I definitely noticed is just the willingness to take opportunity attacks, just to, you know, keep pressing on. Absolutely makes sense. I mean, it gets pretty intense sometimes, and having an able controller.
Yes.
Because a lot of times they got stuck in these tight situations, but there's no way in.
Yep.
And on top of that, we didn't even have a lot of ranged attacks either in the group, so there was really no recourse for them.
No, and that's what I found, even just playing it the one time, was I was playing a paladin, and I think paladin is a good option for defender because you potentially have all the lay on hands.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
that's a lot of extra healing, and a lot of paladin powers can allow allies to spend surges. But a good controller that can either push the monsters, daze the monsters,
yeah,
or even allow allies to move. Like, there's a,
yeah,
you do a warlord build that allows your allies to move around, It was huge, because then you don't have to kill all the monsters. And I think anyone going into this assuming they've got to kill all the monsters is destined to fail.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to just pick your battles. Like in the first round, the first room of the first round, once my guys realized they were minions, they focused on the minions. Well, and then the minions killed themselves. But when they saw the minions again the next time, they knew to be a little more cautious, because they realized the minions were essentially fanatics and would willingly take fire damage to blow up.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, I got to check out those minions. I didn't use them in this one, but I was happy with it. You know, the funny thing is, though, in my group, though, they decided to go into the oil pool before they realized it was oil, and the statue managed to get off an attack on someone in the oil pool, so that whole one pool went up in flames before round four even happened, so... After that happened, they were complete. Like for the rest of the four rounds, they wouldn't go into the oil pool at all. Just terrified of the.
Nice. Well, I think it's interesting that in the three times I've now seen this play out, including yours and mine for tonight, nobody went sort of to the north to the room with all the discs.
Platforms? Yeah, I think it's because they see that and they know it's like, oh, it's gonna be tough to get around that.
Yeah, but I know with the way I had originally for tonight, the way I had set up my monsters, I gambled and I assumed that the party would go the route they did. So I actually had I only had two monsters in that platform room, and then that was it. It was clear sailing all the way to the forge. So had they actually gone in that way, and had they done it quickly, they could have got through there. They would have only had to deal with a few monsters. They would have got to the forge right away.
And they would have got the robes, too, if they went around and...
Potentially. But exactly. Since nobody's gone that way yet, nobody knows.
Yeah, seriously.
So... But, no, I had a good time running it. I'm really looking forward. I got an opportunity again to run it this weekend if I can coordinate it. And I'm really looking forward to running it again. I find that... Now that I've seen it and play a couple of times, I've got some new ideas on how to keep it fresh. But at the same time, I saw some tricks work that, you know, money in the bank. I'm going to keep using them until the players find a way around them.
Yeah.
I like that now basically everyone who plays at our store now has seen it and will hopefully tweak characters before they come back to play it again.
Yeah.
And I think item selection is going to be big as well. I think people picked items they thought sounded cool, but now that they sort of have a better idea what's going on, they're going to pick better items.
Yeah. And well, you know, one thing I thought worked really well, which actually was one of the hugest downfalls for the party, was having one of the fire hounds and the fire bats right outside the fire doors at the end of the rune hall.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you're in the rune hall, you're going to take extra fire damage. And as soon as they open the door, you got the fire bat that has that shift move that's going to just, you know, take them down. And then it just so happened that the fire bat and the hound in my initiative order went right after each other. So you get that, and then you get the close blast from the hound. Yeah. So it was just like a 1-2, just devastating punch. So,
well, I found it as well. The initiative was key. Fortunately, like three of the five party members acted first in the first round before any of my monsters. And then most of the monsters ended up with very close initiatives. So until people started delaying, it was hero, 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 then three or four monsters, and then hero, hero, and then back to I just had the statues go at the end of the round and then back to the top.
Yeah.
But fortunately... for the players, they very quickly realize, well, we need to delay in order for some of these powers to work better. We need to let this guy move first. We need to let this guy use his attack and see who's hurt, and then let someone else go. And that really made a big difference. Unfortunately, it actually hurt them a lot when they finally got into the forge, because again, those monsters, all their initiatives were like within 1 or 2 points. And so when they came in, it just so happened that they opened the door on like a 15, and the monsters went on 14, 13, 12, 11. So it's like they opened the door, and they're standing there, and all the monsters just unloaded on them.
Nice.
So it was a fluke. I mean, had my initiatives been different, things could have played out very differently.
Yeah, and then, I mean, in terms of party management, too, at first they were acting together, but when things started getting a little hairy, everyone started kind of panicking. Well, except the warlord kept trying to keep everyone focused and moving, but he saw pretty quickly that wasn't happening. People were just kind of like, you know, let's go and do this. Yeah. We had a couple of like strays running off. You know, just one of them was one of the characters was just determined to take down this fire elemental. He was the last one into the room of runes with everyone else before, because he was just continuing to try and take care of it.
Well, we. Jeez, I don't even remember what I was going to say. Couldn't have been that important.
Yeah. Well, I mean, another thing is they were trying to focus fire on the bat because they were hoping, because it was already bloodied at one point, and they figured, if we can get this thing out of the way, then we have a path to get through, right?
Yeah.
These things were blocking the door. But just out of the blue, some of the party decided, you know, let's focus on the hound now. So we had they decided to split the damage between the hound and the bat.
Yeah. Whereas if they just focused, they would have killed one.
Exactly, probably. Right? And then they started falling afterwards because like I said, the hound kept recharging. Charging that blast, which is it's horrible for them, but it was great for me.
Yeah.
But that's why the warlord in the end said, you know what, I'm just going to dive through it all. Can I do that? And he's like, yeah, just do it.
Yeah. I remember I was going to say, the one piece of advice that I gave the party at the beginning that I think they listened to pretty well was, you've got to play the role of the character you build.
Yeah.
If you play a leader, you've got to focus on healing the party and keeping people on their feet and helping to direct the battle. You can't be the guy who runs in first and tries to hit the monster for tons of damage. You need to leave that job to the striker. The defender needs to pick his target and keep him locked down. The controller needs to, you know, control the battlefield.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of times, especially in D&D encounters, you don't see that. People make a character that's one role, but they play him like a different role. And I think with this layer salt, that's, you have to play the role that your character is.
Yeah.
If you try and do the wrong something else, like you're not going to do it.
This is absolutely geared towards a different crowd than the general encounters.
Yeah.
People, because like you wouldn't have someone just walk in the street like, hey, try your first time playing D&D 4th edition.
Yeah.
Let's play layer salt. You know. So.
It was fun to actually be in a situation where it was us versus them. Like I know you always advocate that. Well, it's not the DM versus the players.
Yeah,
it's everyone doing
exactly.
Shared storytelling. But it was nice. Like I actually scored 3 crits tonight, but it was all with the minions who do set damage.
Yeah,
so I was very frustrated with that.
I had a couple players from my home game that were here tonight. Who, in the way they always have the young guys, like, oh, you're always trying to get out to get us. They wanted to get assurances, my DM's out to kill me. But tonight I was like, it's true, I am.
Nice. Okay, well, let's cut it there. Okay, and if we have a chance to run this again, we'll sit down and go over our thoughts at the end of the next time.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Ray.
Bit noise.